So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
That we thank you for the gift of another day. We bless you because your word is available and is free for all of us. Lord, help us to understand where your promises are coming from and give us unshakable faith in your promises. Help us to be able to seize these promises by faith and pray them into being. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please resume your seats. Sometimes I wish we could have just a question time and talk a little about which areas are troubling all of us. Let's see how tomorrow evening goes, to see whether we can just have a general question and answer time in addition to the anointing service. Amen. On Monday evening, I took you through faith and its importance. On Tuesday morning, we studied how to have unshakable faith in Jesus Christ because of his resurrection. On Wednesday, we worked through how to have unshakable faith in the Bible as the Word of God. And yesterday, we worked on how to have unshakable faith in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. This morning, I want us to take a closer look at the promises of God and, if I am able to finish early, I will pick one promise line, which is our union with God, with Jesus Christ, and work through that with you. So, number one, what is a promise? Number two, why are the promises of God important? Number three, how do I engage the promises of God in my personal life? A promise is a statement by someone that I will do this or I will not do this. A promise is a statement of what someone declares that he will do or he will not do. All promises have four features. All promises. Number one, they are in the future. Number two, they hold a pleasant interest. Number three, They are declarations that the person is prepared to back. That is what makes it different from just a conversation. And number four, they may or may not be conditional. They may or may not carry a condition. Why are the promises of God important? Why are the promises of God important? Number one, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 say that the promises of God are exceedingly great and precious and are able to make us partakers of the divine nature.
2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Yes.
As the divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
God's power has given us everything we need on this earth. Everything we need on this earth has been given to us by God's power. Yes.
By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature.
You see what God has done? He has given us everything we need in this world. But he has given it to us through his exceeding great and precious promises. The things God has given us, they are deposited in your bank account in the heavenly places. They are paid spiritually into your bank account in the heavenly places. But the check to sign and collect it is the promises of God. The promises of God give you access to what God has given you freely. And he says that by this we become people who take part in the divine nature, the nature of God. Yes.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
The second thing the promises of God do for us, and why they are important, is that they help us to clean up our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. The promises of God help us to clean up our lives and purify our lives from every defilement of flesh and spirit, so that we can perfect holiness in the fear of God.
Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
The promises help us to clean our lives so that we can perfect holiness in the fear of God. Number three, the promises of God serve as an anchor for our soul in this fast-changing, unstable world. Let's read Hebrews chapter 6. We are reading from verse 17 all the way to 19.
Hebrews 6, 17 to 19. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel.
Immutability means unchanging nature. Yes.
Confirmed it by an oath.
Yes, we are reading all the way to 19.
Verse 18 now. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul.
This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Those of you who see these big ships that travel on the sea, one anchor made of iron can be as heavy as a car. And the reason is, when the ship drops anchor, the waves are going up and down, but the ship is stable at one place. The Bible says the promises of God are the anchor of your soul. Any Christian who does not measure in the promises of God, you are a wishy-washy Christian, because you shift. The anchor of the human soul is the promises of God. That is what gives us a hope, which is an anchor. This is why some Christians, any small thing that happens, they are going, oh God, you are there before I'm like this. Oh God, why did you allow this for me? When I get to heaven, I will ask God. Amen. Small thing happens to you. You say, I don't know. God, the way I've been serving you. That person, you see, you have no anchor in your soul. This is why you can be moved like that. You haven't learned to allow your faith to grasp the promises of God. Okay. Now let's take a look at God's promises themselves. I want to highlight four qualities of the promise of God. The first one is that God does not lie. God does not lie. Numbers chapter 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man to lie, or the son of man to repent. Has he said, will he not do it? Has he said, will he not do it? Has he said it, will he not do it? Has he spoken, will he not bring it to pass? Numbers 23:19.
God is not a man that he should lie.
You know, this verse is a very humiliating verse in the Bible. God's description of us human beings is that we are liars. We are liars. God is not a man to lie. Men lie. You lie. And because men lie, men find it difficult to trust another man because I lie. And we extend the same unbelief and distrust to God because we think God is like us. The scripture is saying God is not a man to lie. Our minds cannot imagine someone who doesn't lie, because we haven't met any before. But a promise is no good if the person who gave it to you is a liar. And John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil. He is a liar, father of lies. But Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, God who cannot lie, he promised us eternal life. Titus 1:2.
In hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before time began.
God promised before time began. 1 Samuel 15:29. The strength of Israel will not lie. The strength of Israel will
First
not.
1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 29. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent. For he is not a man that he should relent.
So, the first about God is that he is not a liar. He cannot lie. In fact, Hebrews 6:18 we say, by two things in which it is impossible for God to lie. God is not a liar. He cannot lie. He does not lie. He will not lie. Who are you that he should lie to you? Is it that you are so special he fears your face? But that brings us to the second issue. Not only does God not lie, whatever God says, he knows the end from the beginning before he is talking. Are you with me? Isaiah chapter 46 verses 9 and 10 says that God's Godhood is that he declares the end from the beginning. The Godhood of God is that he knows the end from the beginning. He is an Omega.
Isaiah 46, 9 and 10.
You and I, when we promise somebody that, oh, tomorrow I will visit you at 8, and it rains tomorrow, so I couldn't come because it rained. Because you didn't know it would rain. This is the reason you broke your promise. God, nothing happens that God says, sorry, I didn't know. That's why I promised.
Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning.
Declaring the end from the beginning.
And from ancient times, things that are not yet done.
The weight of the promises of God rests on the fact that he knows the end, yet he promises.
Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I'll do all my pleasure.
The third thing about God's promises is that he has power and ability to perform what he has promised. Is it yesterday? Sister? Please come. And where is our bank manager? He's not in. Who else? I don't want to incriminate you, but Sister Helene, you come. Please, what's your name?
Please, Comfort.
Comfort. Okay. And you are from Bombodi? Okay, she's from Bombodi. What school?
Bombodi.
Your school? Is it? What class are you in?
Form 2.
JHS 2.
Yes.
Okay, she is in JHS 2 from Bombodi near Krachi in the Oti region.
Helene,
you are from
Belgium.
She's from Belgium. What's your profession?
A doctor.
She's a medical doctor. Now, if two of these people, each one says, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, come and see me, and I'll give you 10,000 Ghana. If the two of them say, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, come and see me. I will give you 10,000 Ghana. Which of them will you go to? You are laughing too much. Come, come, come. Which of them will you go to?
Auntie Helen.
Why?
Because she is a doctor and the other one is a student.
Clap for her. A promise is not built just upon the words you say. The power to deliver must be there. You see, we don't believe the Bible just because of the words in the Bible. We believe the Bible because of the God behind the Bible. So two people can say the same words, but you look at the two and choose who to believe. So in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, we read it yesterday. The Bible says when God gave Abraham promise, he was fully persuaded that God was able to do exactly what he had said.
Romans 4:21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform.
Correct. God himself said in Genesis 18:14, you know when he told Sarah that a 90-year-old woman will become pregnant, Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed within the tent. And God said, why did Sarah laugh? Why did you laugh? Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Yes, because she laughed within her heart. So, she was frightened that even laughing in your heart, God hears it. And God said, let's read the Genesis 18. Before we read the 14, let's read from 12.
Genesis 18, we are taking it from verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?
Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And she had long stopped her menses. By that time, she laughed. Because she knew it was impossible for a 90-year-old woman who had stopped her menses to become pregnant. If God did not know, he should have done his biology. Yes.
And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Is there anything? Is there anything too hard for? Is there anything? Is there anything too hard for? Begins by saying, in the beginning, God came from nowhere and stood on nothing and created the heavens and the earth. That is how the Bible introduces him. The Bible never argues that there is God, because it's only a fool who thinks there is no God. The Bible begins by his introduction into the world. He came from nowhere. He stood on nothing because there was nothing to stand on and there was nowhere to come from. And he created heaven and earth. Therefore, he can create 100 heavens and 100 earths. The power to create one heaven and earth is the same. He has more than that. Therefore, if you can believe him, he can pay your school fees. You see, you cannot understand how insulting human behavior is to God until you die. When you die and see God in his glory, you will see how stupid you have been. Someone told me that pastors are always saying they should have faith. Meanwhile, they themselves don't have faith that God will take care of them. Do you understand? If I'm saying exercise faith and give me money, then let me exercise faith and have money. That's what someone has criticized us with. But my point is this. God is able to perform what he has said. He has created the world, the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Which promise has he given to you that he cannot fulfill? What is it? What is it? What is the promise that you can hold God that I don't trust you because last time you promised me this and you can't? Every promise God has ever given, he has fulfilled. Joshua chapter 21 verse 45.
Joshua 21:45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass.
Not a word. Not a word. Not a word of all the promises he gave failed. Everything came to pass. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 56.
1 Kings chapter 8 verse 56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised through his servant Moses.
He did not fail Joshua. He didn't fail Solomon and David. What makes you think he will fail you? A lot of Christians are living substandard lives because they cannot trust God. You see, your life can be carried by God. I normally give the example of which Billy Graham gave, that he said during the time of snow, winter, the rivers normally freeze. And some freeze on top, but under, the river is still flowing. So if you are not careful and you walk on it, it breaks, the ice cracks, and you are sucked into it, and you die. So a gentleman was crossing one of these Canadian frozen rivers. And because it was so difficult, he could not trust the frozen river to carry him. He lay on his belly and was, slowly wading forward on his belly. Within a few minutes, a certain man with a whole wagon full of his household goods, his wife and children, he himself carrying a gun, came from the other side of the river, and then they crossed like this. And the man who was on his belly got up because he was afraid that the river could not carry him. Now somebody's wagon, household, himself stamping, crossed. It's the first time you sit in an aeroplane. When they say fasten your seatbelt, And then the plane is about take off. Hey, get ready for take off. Take off. Jesus. And say, we are coming to Kotoka International Airport. Will you fasten your seatbelt? Get ready for landing. All shutters. Then you hear, then the plane. Jesus. Korean. Abaka. Cha. Now, somebody who has sat in the plane 50 times, when he enters the plane, he takes a newspaper, crosses his legs, and begins to read. When they say, get ready for takeoff, he's still reading. And then you take off. Get ready for landing, he's still reading. Two of you were in the same plane, but you are having high blood pressure. He is relaxed. Many of us, because of our little faith, move through this world just all the time worried. Anxiety. I know God will fail me. Can he? Where will I get money for rent? My clothing? Food? School fees? Electricity bill? Another man or woman with faith walks through the same F relaxed. You both have the same God, but you have not learned how to trust His promises. You have not learned how to trust His promises. Allow me to use the rest of, or some of the time, to show you why the promises of God are unshakable, immovable, impregnable, irresistible, and timeless. The promises were made into covenants, and the covenants were supported by an oath, and the oath was stamped with the blood of the Son of God, and He rose from the dead to enforce them. Do you want me to come again? Okay, let's go slowly. In Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 3, God gave Abraham a promise. Let's read it.
Genesis chapter
12, verse 1 to 3.
Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
This is a promise. It's a promise. In Genesis chapter 15, God made it an oath. God made it a covenant. I beg your pardon. Because He told Abraham in Genesis 15, I don't think the time will favor me to talk about that. But God told Abraham, go and bring a 3-year-old heifer, 3-year-old goat, 3-year-old, bring them, cut them into two, put one side here, put one side here. And Abraham did it and held the fowls, the birds. Then the Bible says, when it was evening, an oven and a burning torch representing God passed through the animals, the dead animals. What does it mean? In the East, whenever you are making a covenant with somebody, you kill animals and separate the animals. The animals you have cut into two. And you and the person making the covenant, you walk through to say that if I disobey what we have agreed upon, let me be cut into pieces like this. So when the burning torch and the oven went through the dead animals, God was saying, what I have told you, the day I don't do it, let me be cut like these animals. So it became a covenant. So because of covenant, Genesis 17, God told Abraham, your part of the covenant is circumcision. Every male in your house should be circumcised. But let's listen to Genesis 22 from verse 15 to 18. Let's read that one. Genesis 22.
Genesis 22, 15 to 18.
Yes.
Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven.
You remember the story. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac. You remember? Uh-huh. Yes. This is what the angel of the Lord said.
By myself I have sworn, says the Lord.
By myself I swear.
Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you.
Yes.
And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of the enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.
Okay, let's examine this passage. God is swearing. Say, I swear by myself. What is he swearing about? He said, in blessing you, Abraham, I will bless you. I will multiply you like the stars of heaven and like the sand upon the seashore. Your descendants will possess the gate of their enemies. I swear by myself. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Now, Galatians 3:16 says, this seed he is talking about is one, not plenty. So that is Jesus Christ. Let's read it. Galatians 3:16.
Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made.
The promises were to Abraham and his seed.
He does not say unto seeds.
He didn't say seeds.
As of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ.
That seed is Jesus Christ. That seed is Jesus Christ. That seed is Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? Because let's read the Galatians 3. First of all, let's read the verse 28 and 29. Then we can come back to 26 and 27.
Galatians 3:28 and 29, first of all. There's neither Jew nor Greek.
So there's neither Jew nor Greek.
There's neither slave nor free.
Neither slave nor free.
There's neither male nor female.
Neither male nor female.
For you are all one in Christ Jesus.
You are all what? One in Christ Jesus. Yes.
And if you are Christ.
If you belong to Christ.
Abraham's seed.
Then you are Abraham's seed.
And heirs according to the promise.
The reason you can take this Bible and work with the promises is because of Jesus. Jesus is Abraham's seed about whom God swore. So if you belong to Jesus, all the promises made to Abraham become yours because you are heir of Abraham through Jesus. You know, for a long time as a Christian, whenever I read the Old Testament promises, I said, is it for me? Is it for me? Are they talking about me? Isaiah 41 verse 10. Eh? Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I will sustain you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. Yeah, is it for me? Many people read the Bible and they are not sure whether the promises in the Bible are for them. I am just trying to prove to you that they are very much yours. Because if you belong to Christ, Christ is the seed of Abraham. Therefore, you are heir of the promises of Abraham. If you are not satisfied, let's read Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. You know it. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, curse is anyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham should come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Yes. 13 and 14.
Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yes.
Having become a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who hangs on a tree. Next.
14.
That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles.
We are the people they call Gentiles, with the non-Jews. He says this blessing of Abraham should come upon us.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
So say it with me. Say, I belong to Jesus. Therefore, I am heir to the promises of Abraham. But that's not all. In Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 13, all the way to what we have read already, 17. Yes, yeah, is on. Listen to how he explains it. He says, when two men are quarreling, the way to settle the quarrel is to say, I swear. You took my mobile phone, I didn't take it. You took my mobile phone, I didn't take it. You took my mobile phone. I swear by Asantehene's throne, I didn't take it. He says, when two people are disputing, an oath is final. It means that's the last thing I want to say. After that, if you ask me anything, I don't have anything to say again. Yes, read it.
For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself.
God swore by himself because you swear by your father, your father's coffin. You swear by Asantehene's throne. You swear by somebody greater than you. But when God looked up, there was nobody greater than him. He looked left and right. There was no. So he said, I swear by myself. Because he is the greatest. So he swore by himself. Yes.
For when God,
can you
saying, surely, blessing, I'll bless you.
Yes.
And multiplying, I'll multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater.
Yes.
And an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute.
So when you are talking with somebody and the person swears, then the dispute is over.
Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath.
Okay. God doesn't tell lies. Therefore, if he tells you, tomorrow, come. Come and see me. I'll give you a new suit. It is okay. It's done. Because he never lies. Therefore, the man who never lies, when he swears, he wants to show that I have nothing else to say. Because of that, if you don't believe the Bible, you are cursed. Because it is God's final. He has nothing to tell you again. This is the reason why in Luke chapter 16, from verse 29 to 31, the rich man, Lazarus' rich man, was telling Father Abraham that he should send Lazarus. If he goes and say, I'm coming from the dead, I tell you there's heaven, there's hell. They will believe. And Father Abraham said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe them, not even somebody from the dead can convince them. I tell people, these days on the internet, you see many people who have died and come back and say, yeah, he came back after 10 days. And he said when he went, he saw heaven, he saw hell, and people have been. Yes, but the Bible is more powerful than any human being who has ever died and gotten up. Even if you die for 15 years and got up, your testimony is not as strong as one verse of the Bible. So God interposed with an oath and sealed it with the blood of his son Jesus. That is why we take communion. He says this, the blood of the New Testament, the covenant, is a covenant between you and God. The blood of Jesus was used to sign the promises of the Bible. This is why 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, in Jesus Christ, all the promises of God are yea, yes, and amen. You want to read it for us?
For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen.
All the promises of God. All the promises of God. All the promises of God in Jesus, they are yes and amen.
To the glory of God through us.
And now, look at what's happening. God doesn't lie. Then, God made a covenant. Then God spoke. Then God used his blood to seal it. Every promise. Then God raised the man who used his blood to seal to get up and supervise that these promises are fulfilled. So one of my daughters finds it difficult to tolerate nonsense. So I was asking at morning prayers that supposing somebody tells you that tomorrow morning come to my house and get $1 million. And when the person is going away, he walks about 50 meters. Then he comes back. He said, please, did you say tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, I should really come for $1 million. You mean American dollars? $1 million. Say yes. That's what I said. That's what I promised. And the person goes about 1 mile and then comes back and say, did you really say that tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, I should come for $1 million? You mean US dollars? $1 million? Is that what you said? Say yes. This, that's the promise I made. Then you go. After moving for about 3 miles, you come back. He said, are you really saying that tomorrow morning? Then my daughter said, she will say, okay, it's okay, I won't give you again. It's okay. Many of us go to church, we read the Bible, but we don't believe God. We don't believe him. We don't believe him. It's very insulting to the almightiness of God. If you have a friend like that, anytime you are conversing with him, say, hey, quick, quick, do you really mean that you come for tomorrow for this one? They will say, oh yeah, that's what I said. Hey, quick, quick, are you really serious? Do you mean, are you doing it? Then, quick, quick, you know, I didn't hear you well. Are you saying that? Quick, you mean, say, look, it's okay, it's okay. It's okay, it's okay. Go, go, don't come again. What do you want God to do for you before you believe the Bible? What do you want God to do again? He doesn't lie. He gave it as a covenant. He swore on top. He shed the blood of his son to sign the check. He raised his son from the dead, who said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. Yet, you still can't believe his promises. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What really do you want? Many Christians don't read the Bible because they know that it's full of lies. If you were to believe Helene, when she said she will give you 10,000 Ghana tomorrow, 8 o'clock, you will be at the door to knock. You don't have your quiet time because you don't believe the Bible. There are 8,000 promises at least in the Bible. At least 8,000 promises. I memorize Bible promises because they are my lifeline. I live by them. And you have not memorized the promise of the Bible because you really don't believe it. You think about it. If you were to believe it, you memorize it. You see, somebody has promised that, oh, please, tomorrow if you come to my office, I'll give you a new car. What do you do? You have met a total stranger and he says, tomorrow if you come to my office, I'll give you a new car. What do you do? What do you do? What's the normal thing to do?
Where is your office? Can I get
office?
Can I get your number?
Can I get your number?
Your email address?
Your email address.
Any other?
Clap for him. If you were to believe the Bible, that the way, even if God briefs, it's more reliable than the word of Donald Trump and Barack Obama and Abraham Lincoln all put together. Even if God briefs. Do you understand? The promises of God are heavier than any promise of a governor of Bank of Ghana or millionaire, billionaire, trillionaire, quadrillionaire in the world. The promises of God. If you don't have time to memorize them, you have a problem. You have a problem, my brother, I tell you. My sister, you have a problem. If you don't have time to memorize promises of God in the Bible, you have a problem. You have a problem. You have a problem. You have a problem. Because it means you don't believe God, even though you go to church. There are so many promises in the Bible about peace, about healing, about holiness. So many promises of God in the Bible. Now, I have 5 minutes and I'm going to take just one of the promises and work on it for you. Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let's all read it together. Go. Go. The Bible is saying, this is one of the 8,000 promises in the Bible. He says, let your life be free from love of money, covetousness. And be content with what you have. Let what you have satisfy you. Because he himself has said, never, never, never will I leave you nor forsake you. It's in the Greek. It is never, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Do you have any other versions? ESV, HCSB. Oh, this is okay. Uh-huh. Good. Amplify. Let's all read it. Oh, you can't see it from afar. Okay. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. I will not. Assuredly not. I will never let you down. I will never relax my hold on you. I will never forsake my support of you. I will not. Yes, verse 6. So, we take comfort and I encourage and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. 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 Look, after having your quiet time on this, when you look into the mirror, even if there is not a peso in your pocket. Let's be on our feet.
God is going to plant your heart in his, in the promises of God, that from today nothing shall waver you, nothing shall move you in times of despair, in trials, in tribulations, in times of rancor. Pray that the Lord should give you faith that will anchor. The Lord will give you faith that will anchor. The Lord will give you faith that will anchor your soul. Your faith will grasp on the promises of the Lord. That your faith will grasp the promises of the Lord. That your faith will grasp on the promises of the Lord. Your faith will grasp on the promises of the Lord. That your faith will grasp on the promises of the Lord. The Bible say, turn and wake up for this day. The Lord is your helper. 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 So that you can boldly say, that we can boldly say, that we can boldly say, the Lord is your helper. 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 Father in heaven. Father in heaven, this morning, Lord, we have come. Lord, help thou our unbelief. Father, help us, O Lord. Lord, Father, teach us how our faith can grasp the promises that you have given us. Lord, help us, Lord, that how our faith will be built on you, Father. We pray, Lord. We pray, Lord, that help us. Help, Lord, our unbelief. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We are grateful to your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. And let us just say amen. Amen.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube. And invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.